Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Book of Matthew chapter 27 this evening. And we are going to end our series on suicide this evening. This will be number 7 that we will be going through tonight. And did a lot of preparation for this, as I've done with others. Don't get me wrong on that. But this one here, I did a little bit more research, and I will share this here with you here in a little bit. I titled this one tonight, Fallen Soldier, and I hope that you'll understand why as we go through this. Let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 5. We might actually go to verse number 10. It says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders." I got to point something out here. I'm going to point it out a little bit later on as well. It doesn't say that Judas repented to Jesus. It says Judas repented himself. Verse number 4 says, "Saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called a field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed unto me." Lord, again, as we are able to come under your preaching tonight, I pray that you just begin again to speak to our hearts. Lord, you have put this in the thought of my mind for particular reasons that only you know of. And so, God, I pray tonight that as we come to a close in this, my prayer is that we would be, as I prayed earlier with Jeff and Linda, that we would be more compassionate to people, that we would give them more of our time for when they are hurting. Because we do not know what people struggle with on the inside. We see the outward appearance, and we look at them, and we think, oh, everything's okay. But deep down inside, they're struggling with shame. They're struggling with some type of depression. They're perhaps struggling with guilt, which causes them to take their own life. So, God, I pray that as we finish this tonight, that we're not done with this, and that we would just pay more attention to people. And we ask it in your name. Amen. The last few months, we have dealt specifically with suicide. We have dealt with it from many different angles. One, we have dealt with it from the homes. We have dealt with it from the sports world. We have dealt with it from the workforce. And now we're going to see it from a different angle, from a soldier. And the reason why I put this in there, because Judas did walk with Jesus. Judas was, for some time, was on the side of Jesus. But towards the end of the ministry of Jesus, Judas had a change of heart. Tonight we will deal with Judas, the fallen soldier who went against his commanding officer. His defiant and rebellious attitude was a game changer for him. His actions that he took by selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver was going to be his legacy. And that's something that you don't really want to be known as. Think about this. Judas is forever written into eternity, the man that sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He's forever known as a man that possibly hated Jesus at this point in time of his life. He's probably known as a man who would rather love fortune than have a love for Jesus Christ. Not a great legacy to be known by. Most people want to be known by the great accomplishments that they made in life, the greatest business transactions that they were able to come with, the fact of being a great father or a great mother or a great husband or a wife. They want to be known by those things. But Judas is not going to be known by those things. He will always be known for the man for betraying the Son of God, a legacy that no one would be proud of when gathering around the table with family members. Think about that for a second. But despite what he did, he was able to witness some pretty incredible things done by Jesus during the 3 years that he was able to spend with him. And those are things that a lot of us are jealous of. Today we're able to go to the Bible and we're able to begin to read about the experiences. We're able to see what Jesus did, but we weren't actually with him during his time. Judas may have sold Jesus for some money, but in the end, when Jesus was facing death, I want you to pay attention to this. When Jesus was facing death in the end, a majority of his disciples forsook him at the cross. Not too many of them were left with him to hear of his cry, to watch of his passing as he left this earth. When Christ needed them the most, they were nowhere to be found. I can only imagine the lonely feeling when Christ looked around and didn't see his friends. I have experienced a few lonely times in life, but I can't even begin to imagine what Christ felt at this time in his life. A complete abandonment by the ones that he invested his time, the love that he showed them, the compassion that he would have for them. But yet at the cross, he was forsaken by them. I remember, it's been about 5, maybe 6 years ago, could be a little bit longer. That doesn't matter. I remember I went to Alabama. I went to go spend a weekend with my brother and a friend of his. And we had a great time together. We spent just about 3 days up in, I can't remember the name of this mountain that they call it there. But anyway, it's one of the highest points in their city at this time. It still is. And it's a good place to go sit around and be able to look out and be able to see God's beauty out there. And we had this great time. We had this great bond that was taking place. But then there came a time where I was going to have to depart, my brother and my friend at this point in time. And so we had that 3 days there. We went back to his place. We got all cleaned up and got packed once again. And they began to deliver me to the airport, which is about an hour and a half away from my brother's place. And took me to the great state of Georgia, where Atlanta is. Atlanta is a pretty big airport. And I don't know if you guys have been in Atlanta, but Atlanta Airport is a city in and of itself. And I remember as we pulled up to the outside, this is my first time experiencing the outside of this place. Normally I'm just flying through there, getting on a plane and going somewhere else. And as I began to get dropped off, I seen this vast majority of people. And I got out of the vehicle, I gave my friend a hug, gave my brother a hug, and as soon as they began to drive away, I felt this loneliness that I never, ever felt in my life before. And I knew I was coming home to my wife, and I knew I was coming home to my daughter, but this emptiness that was there. And I began to think throughout this week, man, just imagine what I'm going through at this point in time. At that point in time, I can't even begin the loneliness that Christ felt upon the cross when his friends deserted him. When he needed them the most, they weren't there. But one stands out the most because this is what led Jesus to take his place on the cross for everyone to see. To come from honor and glory and respect, to go to a place of humility, rejection, and a death from a world at the time that hated him. There have been many other soldiers since that day who have done many great things for this country. Some have given their own lives. Some have lost their limbs that were once attached to their bodies. Some have seen things that no other man and woman would see in a lifetime. The things that they have seen would cause them to suffer great anxiety, and some would fall into great depression, and some would abandon ship like that of Judas. But with that, they have gone through many things in their life. Because of what they would experience, many would take their own lives. Not being able to handle the pain and the anguish of war. Have you ever had the privilege to sit around with an elderly person, or maybe even a younger person, that has actually fought in a war? To experience what they have experienced. Last night, I sat down, and one of my favorite movies came on, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not a person that just sits down and watch movies. I'm not that way. My wife wanted to have a good laugh the other night, and she wanted to watch a comedy, and she turned that thing on. Within 5 minutes, I'm asleep. I think that's done purposely by her. But anyway, I fell asleep right away. But I saw this movie. It's one of my favorite ones because I love movies about the war. I've always been drawn to those things. So last night I was watching Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge is a true story. It happened to a man back in 1945, a man that was really made fun of by and for his beliefs in God. Although his beliefs are a little bit different than ours, he stood up for God. Did not want to take arms, didn't want to take any type of a gun and go into battle. That wasn't his mission. His mission was just to serve in the military. He wanted to do what he could. Through this, he would be tried. He would see some things and hear some things that would even take place before he went to the battlefield. They tried to get him kicked out because they didn't want him serving because he wouldn't take up arms. Long story short, he passes through because of his father being able to help him in this area. And his father knew a brigadier general, and this general was able to say, hey, this man's fit for war. He doesn't have to pick up arms. He's actually going to be a battle medic. That's what he's going to be. And so that's what he became. And then he went to war. And through his time in the war, he saw some things that many of us men and women couldn't stand. And those who have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. The things that he saw, the things that he did, was something that you and I probably could never handle. But as you get to the end of the movie, you see this man still alive. Not now, but he was still alive during this time. And he began to recount some of the things that he went through. But I saw something in this man that I don't normally see in a lot of individuals who go to war. And that was this. A man with a smile on his face because of his relationship with the Lord. But they go through things that you and I are not able to go through. So they have this pain of war that's in their thoughts, it's in their minds. They have countless nights of nightmares. You folks have heard of nightmares that I have on occasions. My nightmares are nothing compared to the man or women who's had some time in the military, who spent some time on the battlefield, constantly being paranoid of their surroundings, no longer being able to trust people, constantly living in fear. And this will begin to play a toll on many soldiers. And because of this, it would lead many of them to take their own life. I'm going to give you a stat that will probably surprise you, and it may not surprise you. We've all heard of the term military. Was it 22? Is that how they call that? I think every 22 seconds, a military person takes their own life. So this takes a toll on their life. Suicide rates in the military among active duty military members are currently at an all-time high. Since record-keeping after 9/11, and it's been increasing over the past 5 years as well at an alarming, steady pace. In 2021, a research found that 30,177 active duty personnel and veterans who served in the military after 9/11 have died all by suicide. And we don't think nothing of it. Suicide is in the thoughts and the minds of many men and women. Compare this to the 7,557 members killed in combat in those same 20 years. Did you guys catch that? Only 7,000 people died in combat, but 30,000 in that same 20-year span took their own lives. Wow. That's sad. Military suicide rates are 4 times higher than deaths occurred during military operations. When someone takes their own life, every single person that they knew are in complete shock because they can't believe what just took place. For the remainder of this night, we will focus on why Judas had taken his own life. But first, I must address a certain matter, and that is this. There are few religions out there that believe if you take your own life, it is the unforgivable sin. I can recall years ago, I used to play baseball for a Christian league that actually Jeff got in when he was younger. And once he got done playing, I decided, you know what, I want to do the same thing. And so I went out, and I didn't have to try out for the team. It's a Christian baseball league. They'll take anybody. So they took me. Little did they know what they were getting. But anyway, I was able to get on this team. And this particular team, it was a group of people that was involved. Really, you had Pentecostals, you had Methodists, you had Presbyterians, whatever religion that you can think of. They were a part of this Christian Ball Field Association. And so mainly a lot of the people that I came in contact with were the Pentecostals. And I became very good friends with them. Matter of fact, Pastor was a good friend with one of the Pentecostal pastors here in town. That was Pastor Moore. Jeff knows who I'm talking about. Christy knows who I'm talking about. And he was a good gentleman. I really loved that man. And had some good advice, had some good wisdom as well. But I remember as I was sitting on the bench one particular night, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and they began to talk about somebody who is in hell at that point in time. And I asked the question, because I've always been inquisitive. I said, why do you think they're in hell? And this is what came out of the mouth: because they committed suicide. And I got to think about this as a young person. Where does it say this in the Bible that if I was to commit suicide that I would be in hell? According to Scripture, this isn't true. Please allow me to quote some Scripture. Matter of fact, go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 29. And please understand that I'm not focusing on Judas at this point in time. What I'm trying to focus on at this point in time is if someone was to commit suicide, it doesn't mean that they have gone to hell. Mark, chapter 3, verse number 29, it says, "But he that blasphemed against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness." What does that say? It says, "but is in danger of eternal damnation." I have said from the beginning of the study, all walks of life have committed suicide. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a man. But all walks of life, people have committed suicide, even down to the very pastors of some churches. Don't think for a moment that it only happens to the unsaved, because that would be foolish, and let me throw this in there as well. It would be insensitive to those who are going through this pain and heartache of losing somebody to suicide. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse number 16. Mark, chapter 16, verse number 16. This is a verse that Pastor quoted this morning. And it says this. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So what I want to clear up, first of all, tonight is this. The reason why people go to hell is because of the rejection of who, folks? Because of Jesus Christ. That's why people go to hell. Let me be very clear. In order to go to heaven, a person must put their faith and trust in God and have a time where they came to repentance. If that has taken place in your life, there's nothing that can keep you out of heaven. Thank God for that. Why? Because once we have salvation, we are sealed until the day of redemption. There's no man that can pluck us out of the hand of God. We can't do enough wrong to get ourselves out of heaven if we've accepted, truly accepted, the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. But I don't see that in Scripture with Judas. Sure, he had remorse. But never in Scripture do we see him confessing his heart to the Lord, whom he sold for a few pieces of silver. Sure, Judas had guilt. His guilt had caused him to take the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priests, as it says here in verse number 4, it says, then Judas, which he had, verse number 3, betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders. I ask myself a question. Why didn't Judas go back to Jesus? He did Jesus wrong. He didn't do these scribes and these elders any wrong. But he did Jesus wrong, and he goes back and he gives him the money. Judas, we don't see him confessing his heart to the Lord. We don't see those take place. His guilt had never caused him to go back to Jesus and seek forgiveness. Because if we're to go to Jesus and we ask for forgiveness, what does the Bible say Jesus is going to do? He's going to forgive. Judas had an opportunity. Judas had a way to where he could have went back to Jesus and sought Jesus, and he could have got down on his hands and knees, and he could have said, Lord, please forgive me for the wrong that I have done in your life. Lord, please forgive me for choosing wealth over you. But he didn't do those things. But there is something that his guilt had caused him to do. I've given you a reason for every time that we've come to this part in Scripture where somebody has taken their own life, I've always given you a reason why they took their life. But here is what led Judas to take his own life. And if you haven't caught it, I'm going to say it again. It's his guilt. It's his guilt. Judas had missed an opportunity to go to the Lord and seek forgiveness. If he would have just taken that first step, folks, Jesus would have forgiven him. Guilt causes so many different reactions in life. Some don't think about this, but I see this on many different occasions. Guilt keeps people from going to church. Do you guys realize that? I know folks today who have a hard time stepping in church because of the guilt that they have. But that's what keeps people come from church. But let me say this. Guilt is another tool that is used by Satan to keep us from God. It truly is. It's not allowing us to really give the things to God that we truly need to give to Him. We have a duty to be there for people when they need us the most. And why should we be there for people when they're going through these dark times in their life? Judas, we don't think about this, because automatically our minds are drawn to a man that sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and then when he went out and hung himself, most people think it's about time, he finally did something right, and on we go with our life. But where were the other disciples? Where were they? Did they not seek to have a relationship with Judas during those 3 years as well? They knew of the betrayal that Judas did to them, to Jesus. Why wasn't Peter and John and the other disciples out there say, Judas, hey, I understand what you did, what was wrong, and we all know what's wrong, but Judas, you don't have to do this. You don't have to take your own life. Judas, could you please understand, even though that you sold our friend for 30 pieces of silver, he still loves you. He still cares for you. One of the reasons why most people end up taking their own lives is because they don't feel like they're loved by anybody anymore. It's so true. I know this sounds funny, but also most suicides are done by mistakes. They don't mean to kill themselves. They think about the process. They have everything planned out, but when it comes time to it, they really don't want to do it. And it becomes a mistake. But folks, I see something here in Scripture as Judas is going through this time in his life. Some very important people that abandoned him. Now, obviously, Jesus couldn't do nothing for him at this point in time. Jesus was already captive. He was already taken in. And now Judas, he's off by himself. But he had 11 other people that was very influential in his life. Where were they? Where were they? We are in need to be there for people when they need us the most because we love them. But please understand this. Because some people say, well, only if they love Jesus, everything will be okay. I agree with that, but I want to give you something to think about. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure suicide. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure depression. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure PTSD. By the way, it's no longer called PTSD. I don't know if most of you folks know that, but they've taken the disorder off of that because most people don't want to be known with a disorder. So it's just PTS. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure anxiety. You guys don't know this, but I have a lot of anxiety. So much so, I'm looking forward to this trip, but at the same time, I'm nervous as can be. My hair has gotten grayer, my hair has gotten thinner, and I've gotten heavier because I'm eating more because I have this anxiety about me. But this doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't offer us companionship and comfort. Because he always does that. He's always there for us. If only Judas would have sought the companionship and comfort of Jesus, his outcome could have been totally different in his life. When you and I are in the darkest moments of our life, we haven't always done this because we haven't always been saved and we always have the greatest relationship with God. But when we're walking with God and we come to our darkest point in life, where do we normally go for comfort? Yes, some will choose to go to their spouse, and that's a good thing, but our spouse can't offer the comfort and the companionship that Jesus could. Jesus offers those things. And if Judas would have went to God during his time, Jesus, he could have experienced true forgiveness. And if he would have experienced true forgiveness, he could have been in the presence of the Lord today. He said, Chad, you taught a few years ago that you thought that Judas might be in heaven today. Well, I was wrong. Because I don't see Judas going to Jesus and seeking forgiveness. I don't see that in Scripture. I tried. I failed. But when you're in your darkest moments, and when you're not feeling loved by others, can I give you some good sound of advice? Jesus always loves you. If we can't go to somebody else, I encourage you to go to the Son of God, who wants to show you that love, that companionship, and that friend that he wants to be to you during that time. Suicide is real. It's very real. And I hope that through this particular study, it's going to help us to be more sensitive to people who come in our lives. I've heard about 3 times this week from different individuals who have said these words, I'm going to kill myself. They could have been joking at that point in time, but to me, it's no longer a joking matter because we need to be there for people. Amen.